Morning. I'm excited about being here and preaching for you. My family is here, and that is a long ride, so they are in the back right now. You got two little ones like that. You, I've heard about, my son loves the Cars movie. I don't know if any of y'all seen that, but I have heard that all the way from my house to here. I don't care to hear that movie anymore for the rest of my life, I'm here to tell you. But no, here, and so I can't ask for much more than that. But they did need to stretch out their legs a little bit and kind of get the jitters out a little bit. So you'll get to meet them hopefully in the morning service if you haven't already got to talk to my wife. She's back there with them now trying to make sure that they don't kill anybody. But no, you'll be able to meet her a little bit later. It is good to be here with you. I'm really excited because I actually knew that I was doing Sunday school this time. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be any better this time, but I am more prepared this time, so I'm not nearly as nervous about it. So I'm going to talk about some things this morning. I love Sunday school. I really do. I enjoy Sunday school time. Because Sunday school is a time that you can break the Word of God down and you can actually study things. You can actually go through things in a little more in-depth study. And I like that. It's kind of like Wednesday night services. You know, people have gotten away from Wednesday night services and Sunday night services, Sunday schools, because they don't really want to study the Word of God anymore. They just want somebody to get up here and tell them what they want to say, tell them what they want to hear, and to actually study the Word of God. I like to teach the Word of God. God's called me to preach, number one, and yes, I love to preach the Word of God, but I also like to teach it. I love to be able to give you something out of the Word of God. Now, the difference in most Sunday school times and things like this are usually you have some kind of a structure, like you're going to follow this thing through, and you have more time to develop that. So it is a little more difficult when you're trying to do that in one session. So you got to bear with me. If we get to a point where it's just kind of like, well, he didn't finish, I'm sorry. I can't help it if I don't get to finish. I can only do so much in such amount of time that I'm given. So I don't want to keep you too late. I'm trying to stay on topic of everything. I want to try to get my thought across and try to make everything make sense. But if I leave something out a little bit, just know I could go for days on some of this stuff. And I kind of want to give you a background. I believe that this King James Bible is the infallible and inerrant Word of God. That's what I believe. That's what I stand on. I know this church has that background. I don't know your former pastor, but I've heard that he taught that, he preached that. And I kind of want to give you a background on myself as far as why I believe the Word of God is the King James Bible. There's a lot of different people coming up in there. They're trying to change it. They're trying to corrupt the Word of God. And it seems to be getting worse now. You see on social media, I don't know how many of you follow different people on social media, or if any of you are on social media, but if you follow any platform, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's Facebook, or if it's Instagram, if it's Twitter, if it's TikTok video. It doesn't matter what platform you follow, they're trying to corrupt the Word of God. They're trying to change it as much as they possibly can. They want to take everybody that stands in a pulpit and preaches this, and they try to tell them that they're archaic, and they don't know what they're talking about. They don't understand the historical value of Greek and Hebrew text. And what they've done is they've taken the Greek and Hebrew text themselves and they've changed everything. You see, you have to understand, you have to look and see where your Word of God comes from. You have to be able to study the Word. That is my beautiful wife right there. Yes, that is Miss Leslie Pullen, and I love her to death, and she's going to hate me because I called her out like that. But she came in, and I had to tell you who she was, just in case you was wondering. That is my wife. So I just want to give you a little bit of a background on what I believe, why I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And like I said, it'll be a very slimmed-down version, because you could do that for weeks upon weeks upon weeks. But it's just a little bit of an overview of why I believe the Word of God is the King James Bible. Psalms chapter 12 and verse 6. Psalms chapter 12 and verse 6 is where we're going to start. We're going to use a lot of different scriptures. So bear with me. If you can get there, get there. If you can't, I understand. Psalms chapter 12 and verse 6, the Bible says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach again, Lord. Thank you so much for letting me be able to stand in this pulpit again, Lord, and preach to these people. I pray that you just put me aside, Lord. It's nothing about me, Lord. It's all about you. I pray that they would just understand, Lord, that this is the true, infallible, and inerrant Word of God, Lord. I thank you for preserving the Word, Lord. Thank you for keeping your promise, Lord, and keeping this book where we could still hold it, we could still read it, Lord, where we can get truth out of it. And I pray that you just be with this service, Lord, be with this Sunday school hour as we go through here, Lord, and study more about the Word of God. I pray that you just be with us as we go into the Sunday morning service, Lord. And if somebody's lost here this morning, Lord, I pray that you just help them to come to the knowledge of you, Jesus Christ, that they would be able to know that they're a lost sinner and they're dying and going to hell, and that you can save their soul this morning, Lord. That'd be the most important thing that could happen here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The words of the Lord are pure words. They're pure words. You don't have to think about, when you're reading the Word of God, whether or not it's going to be pure or not pure. He tells you right here, it is a pure Word of God. God spoke it, so it has to be pure, right? You see, when you think about other translations, you realize that man wrote those translations. Man didn't write the one that I read. God wrote it. God breathed these words. He used man to pin it down, but that was all that it was. It was a tool. You see, Jesus Christ himself spoke these words. I believe that you can hold the Word of God in your hand. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I already told you I'm going to go to a lot of different scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I promise you this right now, in the morning service, I won't go to as many. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 16, the Bible says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God be thoroughly furnished with all good works." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. John 1:1 tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In John 1:14, the Bible tells us the Word was made flesh. That ought to give you something right there. That ought to tell you something right there. Jesus Christ himself was the Word of God. That ought to excite you just a little bit. When you think about it, the Trinity has always been there. That's a shocker, right? If you haven't studied your Bible 5 minutes, you've got it right there. The Trinity's always been there. It's always been the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, it may have took on different forms, but it's always been there. It's very simple, but when you have the Word of God and you have the true, infallible, and inerrant Word of God, you find out that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in John 1:14. God's Word, like Himself, is unique. Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 8 tells us, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." It's always been, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was in the beginning, and it will stand for all eternity. When everything else is gone, the Word of God will still be here. You see, it doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter what people try to tell you. It doesn't matter how much they try to corrupt it. It will always be here. That's the one thing that'll be constant in life. That is the one thing that is always constant. You see, everything else fails you in life. Isn't that true? You've been married for any amount of time. I fail my wife. I don't try to. I hope that I don't as much as... I'm bad sometimes. I understand. I try to be a good husband. I try to do things right, but I fail her. I can't be consistent like the Word of God can be. Now, I can use the Word of God to try to be more consistent in my life. I can use the Word of God to try to be a better husband, to try to be a better father for those two children. And that's the tool that we're supposed to use. But the Word of God is Jesus Christ Himself. It's kind of hard to compare yourself to that, ain't it? You see, that's constant. That's consistent always. and it will stand forever. God does not change, and His Word does not change, because it comes from God. Because it comes straight from God, you don't have to worry about whether it's going to change or whether it's going to go to something different or whether it needs to be said this way, a better way. You can just know that it's never changed and it's never going to change. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I have a heads up on you because I tabbed all mine. Y'all should have got my notes. Y'all could have kept up better. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." That's how your Word of God was written. Jesus Christ Himself spoke the words and moved on the men to be able to pin it down. Jesus Christ wrote this book, not a man. Not any man. That's what you see in your translation. His opinion. They interpret how they decided it should be worded. But this scripture right here says it's not to any private interpretation. So it isn't just how you interpret it. It's how God interprets it. You know, we can try to change things to fit. You've seen that in the pulpit over years and years and years of time. They take the Word of God and they sit there and say, well, we can manipulate it this way and we can make it fit that way. And then you end up with something like Calvinism. Oh, me, right? That's running rampant right now. And it is killing the Southern Baptist Church. Because the Southern Baptist Church is just eating it with everything they can. They're just saying, I want more of it, and I want more of it, and I want more of it. I'm seeing them fall daily because of that. Seeing this, how they fall daily. People are trying to shove down their throat. But they take the Word of God and they manipulate it to get those kind of things. They've done that for years. Charismatics do it. And I'm not here to just bash different denominations and different religious views or whatever, but I'm just telling you what the truth is. I'm just telling you what the truth is. God's Word is not for any private interpretation. God spoke it, and it will be. That's the way it's always been, and it will always be. When you take away from the deity of Jesus Christ, you have a very big problem. The fact that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God incarnate. You see, when you start taking away from the deity of Jesus Christ, which is what most modern versions do, you have a problem. Now, I've done some study, and I'm trying to stay on topic. I'm trying to get my thought through in a concise way, but I want to rabbit trail sometimes. Because I've studied a lot, especially recently, because I work with some people that believe different Bibles. They believe that you can take a different perversion and it's the Word of God. It's just as good. So, me being the kind of person that I am, I study it. I still believe the Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, you have to study it to be able to go against some people every once in a while. And sometimes you need to know what their point of view is. We talk about the Word of God, and some people say, well, I believe the Word of God is the King James Bible. Why? Because that's what Daddy preached. Because that's what Granddaddy preached. Because that's the church that I grew up in. You see, I had that same mentality for a lot of years. I grew up in a great church. I grew up in Victory Baptist Church in Millbrook, Alabama. I grew up in some of the greatest preachers that have ever preached. Some of the greatest preachers that ever taught the Word of God. They taught right division. They taught Bible doctrines. They taught dispensational thinking. They taught King James Bible. They did all of these things, and I heard this all of my life. And I remember when I left and went to college, I went to a Free Will Baptist college. That ought to scare you to death. The worst, best thing I ever did was go to that college. Worst, best thing. I went to that college, and I remember being there for only a few weeks. And that was a college that was predominantly for Free Will Baptist preachers to go. That's where they were supposed to learn how to preach. I still ain't figured out how you learn how to preach. maybe I ought to take more classes. You can take all the hermeneutics and homiletics classes you want to. It still don't teach you how to preach if God didn't call you. That's good preaching right there. But I went to this college, and they sat there, and I remember specifically a bunch of preacher boys that I was friends with. They came up and they said, "Hey, we're gonna change your view on the Word of God. We're gonna change your view on what you think." Because you see, Free Will Baptists, they have a couple of things messed up. One, they had the Bible messed up. They said it was a preferred book. They preferred the King James Bible. They said that you had to go back to the original manuscripts to get the true Word of God that they couldn't hold in their hand. That's a problem. So God really couldn't preserve His Word like He said in Psalms. That's a lie. Well, then all of a sudden you're tampering with a lot of different things. If He lied there, did He lie when He died on the cross? Amen, right? Hey, it all breaks down if you're not careful. It'll all break down on you real quick if you're not careful. But they came in and they said, "We're going to change your point of view." And they had that messed up already. But on top of that, Free Will Baptists believe that you can commit apostasy. Oh, so now you can lose your salvation. They don't believe you're sealed to the day of redemption. You see, I believe when you get saved, that Jesus Christ indwells in your heart and He can't get out. He sealed you. He sealed you to the day of redemption. You see, when Jesus Christ comes, He'll open the seal. You'll stand before God, He'll decide to open that seal. But you can't just get out when you want to. When something as big as God moves in, do you think you really have a whole lot of control over it? No, you don't get to make choices like that. God said, "You know what? I died on the cross for your sin. I paid that sin debt. And if you believe in it, I don't care what you do after that. I still saved your soul. I still saved your soul." Now, there's some instances where you sit back and go, well, you can look at their fruit, and you can do that. You can do that. You can sit there and say, well, I don't know if they were saved or not because of the way they lived their life. And I understand you can look at their fruit. And God tells us to judge them by their fruit. But the thing about it is, if they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, it don't matter how much they backslide. God still died on the cross for their sins. But these boys, they came up and said they were going to change my point of view and they were going to change things about me and how I looked at Scripture and how I interpreted the Scripture. And I did something that most people probably wouldn't do. I remember sitting in my room in college and I laid this Bible down. And I said, okay, God, if this is truth, if what I've heard all these years is truth, I'm fixing to prove it. I'm fixing to prove it. You're going to have to sit here and show me. You're going to have to show me that this is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And I went on a mission. And I basically said, I'm going to find the Word of God. If it's the manuscripts, that's fine. If it's AV, ESV, NIV, whatever other ones you want to say, I'm going to find it. I'm going to have a final authority. I'm going to have a final authority. And every time that one proved itself. Every time that one came out on top. Every single time that King James Bible came back and said, hey, what did they do with this one? Hey, why did they change that? Hey, why did they go this direction with it? Because they're not the Word of God. They're just perversions. They're just perversions. And I deal with this stuff at work a lot. And I sit there and I see these guys that stand up and they tell me, you know, they believe in this and they believe in that. And the big one right now is the ESV. Well, that's a good one. You ought to get you a copy of it. Actually, you ought not. Unless you're going to study it. But I got the ESV and I can study it. I can sit there and look at the comparisons of different things. And I got to looking at something and it really kind of bothered me because this guy was like, the ESV, it's better. It's just better. And I sit there and I'm like, well, you sit back and you go back to the AV. Okay, the AV was the first one. Well, they took away from the virgin birth. So they took away from the deity of Jesus Christ all of a sudden. But then a bunch of Southern Baptists got ticked off. Because you took away from their virgin birth that they believed in since they was a baby. So what did they do? When they revised it to the ESV, they put it back in. If it was wrong in the AV, why is it not still wrong in the ESV? If you tampered with it there, then why aren't you just consistent and keep it consistent through the whole thing? No, because you're just trying to please man. All your objective is to sit there and say, I got to sell one more. And if the Southern Baptist Convention won't buy into it, then I'll change it in the ESV and I'll make it more comfortable for them so they'll keep reading it. Did you know also the ESV makes a translation for the Catholics? That's cool, ain't it? That's real good. You ought to do some study on that, dig on that a little bit. One of the biggest problems I have with modern Bibles is they take away from hell. Now, why would you want to take away from hell? Anybody that's trying to cool down hell is probably getting ready to go. I'd try to cool it down too if I was getting ready to go. They change words and they say stuff like Hades. And they make those kind of words and they try to act, well, it's the same thing. Sit there and tell a guy at work, well, they changed hell to Hades in the ESV. Well, it's the same thing. No, it's not. Study it. You say that the manuscripts are more important. Well, then why don't you study a little bit of Greek and Hebrew then? Yeah. I've never seen anybody give a good argument for that one. You believe that the manuscripts are more pure, but yet you don't have enough decency to study Greek and Hebrew to figure out what they say? Study to show thyself approved unto God? Study to show thyself approved unto God? Yeah, they probably take that now too, don't they? They don't want you to really realize that you have to study. They just want a preacher to get up here and talk about it so they can sit there and feel good about themselves. If you start tampering with the word of God, all of a sudden, guess what? It's not sharper than any two-edged sword anymore. What does that mean? It doesn't convict you the same. It doesn't convict you. When you do something wrong, you don't have any conviction there because it's not a living book. It's not the true words of God that are sitting there saying, hey, you ought to change your life. Hey, you ought to change the way you think. Hey, you ought to change the way that you look at that. When it's just a book, all of a sudden it just doesn't matter. But they change things like hell to Hades. Hades doesn't mean hell. Hades doesn't even mean a place of torment. In some cases, Hades means a holding place. Well, there can be a lot of confusion right in there because the Bible talks about before Jesus Christ died on the cross, he told that thief he'd be with him in paradise. That could get confusing, folks. If you believe a Catholic doctrine, they believe you go to paradise. Well, paradise was done away with. Why? Because Jesus Christ let captivity captive. You see, he had to be the ultimate sacrifice for your sins. You say, well, that may be a little over my head. No, it's simple. Jesus Christ had to be the ultimate sacrifice. I would love to bring, I got this massive banner. I work at a print shop, and we do massive printing. So we make these big, big banners. And I've got one, it's probably 14 feet long. It's probably 8 foot wide. It's such a cool looking banner because it's got the timeline on it. I don't know if any of y'all have ever seen a timeline in the Bible. But Dave Reese, he drew this picture when he was preaching at Victory. And somebody got a copy of it off a picture and we put it on a banner. And I've got that banner and it's such a cool thing because you sit there and you can see the breakdown of how that Bible works. You can sit there and go, you've got these Jews over here and they're sitting there and they're looking for the kingdom. They're looking for Jesus Christ to come back and set up his kingdom. They weren't looking for the cross. They weren't looking for the cross. You see, they didn't understand that Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross for their sins because Jesus Christ said, hey, he came to his people. He came to his people and they rejected him. When they rejected him, guess what? He said, I'll take a people that aren't a people. I'll take these Gentile dogs. I'll die on the cross for their sins so that they can have full atonement. You see, they didn't understand everything over here. They didn't understand how everything was going to pan out exactly. But when you start tampering with the Word of God, all that starts to change. Then your dispensations start to change. I would love to do a study on dispensations. If I ever get to pastor church, I will do a study on dispensations. I can guarantee that one. I'm going to do a study on dispensations. There's dispensations in every age in the Bible. And there's an apostate in every dispensation. It's amazing how it's broke down. I love it. I absolutely love how that stuff works. But when you start tampering with the Word of God, all of a sudden everything just seems to fit. You could take this little piece over here and this little piece over there. You could take this piece over here and you can make it fit over here. You can't do that in the Word of God. You have to rightly divide the Word of truth. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every single solitary bit of it's good. Every single solitary bit of it you can use. But you have to use it in the right way. Paul still said, consider what I say and gain understanding in all things. You see, if you'll listen to what you're supposed to listen to, you'll get the understanding in the other places. That's important. It's important. But they tamper with the Word of God. They tamper with the Word of God. I'm going to move on my thought. I'm running out of time. So you can trust God's Word is true. You can also trust God's Word to affect your life. God's Word is not only trustworthy, but is also profitable. What kind of profit does God's Word bring? God's Word is profitable for doctrine. That is what is right. For reproof, that's what is not right. For correction, that's how to get right. And for instruction in righteousness, that's how to stay right. That's how you break that down when it talks about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. If you think about those few things right there, how to get right, how to stay right, how to be right, that's what the Word of God's for. You can get great living in Old Testament. You go back over to that law and you start looking at it and you can sit there and go, man, that's how you ought to live your life. That's how you can have a relationship with God. That's how you can grow closer to Jesus Christ. It's not how your salvation's set up because I don't have to keep the law. But it's a good way to live. There ain't nothing wrong with living that way. Some people say, well, that makes you live in this little bubble. Makes you live in this, you're too Christian. What does that mean? What does that mean? How can you be too Christian? Shouldn't you be striving to be more like God? Shouldn't you want to be more like Christ every single solitary day? Shouldn't that be your goal when you wake up every morning to say, hey, can I be more like Christ today than I was yesterday? But that's too Christian and people will get offended. We'll offend them. Offend them. Well, I might lose my job. Then lose it. Go get you another one. You can cut grass. You work for yourself. Now, gas prices going up, that might cause problems. But I'm not going to get on politics either. I'm going to stay away from that. But you can go find you a job somewhere else. Right now, everybody's hiring. You can go work at McDonald's and make what I make. It's amazing. I'm thinking about going and get me a job there. And free cheeseburgers. I'm all about that. World's crazy. But you're too Christian, so you might have to worry about things. You might have to worry about offending somebody. I've never really worried about offending people. That's the reason why I probably don't go back to most churches. That's what my wife would say. You go into these churches and you're just so mean. No, I'm just telling you truth. I just want you to know what the Word of God is. And if you don't want to have me back, that's fine. But at least you heard it once. Amen. At least you got it one time. They may never preach it in that pulpit again, but I'm going to preach it one time. The Word of God is profitable. It is profitable. It's not just part of the Word of God that's profitable, but all of it. We have a tendency to only focus on the parts of Scripture that are familiar and comfortable to us. This is why you should definitely take 2 Timothy 2:15 to heart. We have a tendency to do that a lot, especially if you believe the King James Bible. If you believe rightly dividing the Word of truth is actually something you should do. If you believe dispensations, you have a tendency to only stick with the familiar things in the Word of God. That's just what we do. I wish it wasn't that way. But you get into this hyper-dispensational crowd. That's what everybody thinks. When I say I'm a dispensationalist, everybody goes, oh, he's a hyper-dispensationalist. No, 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 no. I believe all Scripture. I don't believe that you just take Paul's epistles and throw the rest of it in the trash. I think it's all good. But people have that tendency because it's familiar. And it's comfortable to stay there. But you should study the whole Word of God. You should study all of it. You should get over in MAPS and just have yourself a time. I'm telling you, it's all good. My dad says that. So my wife's sitting here looking at me like, why are you using his jokes? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every single solitary bit of it. So we know that we can trust God's Word is true. We can also trust God's Word to affect our lives. And we can also trust God's Word to prepare us for what He wants us to do in our lives. That's a big question right there. Everybody wants to do what God wants them to do. I've heard that so many times. I've thought it myself. What do you want me to do, God? What's the next step? What do you want me to go? What I have found out over the years is nobody really walks through the doors. Nobody will walk through a door. Sometimes you just got to walk through one and see how it pans out. There's some of you men here. You sit here and say, well, I'd like to teach Sunday school class. Then teach one. Shocker, right? Why don't you go to the pastor when you get one and say, hey, God's been dealing with me and I really would like to try to teach a Sunday school class. He ought to say, yeah. I think that'd be a good door for you to walk through. You've been studying the Word of God. You've got something you want to give out of the... As long as you should line up with the King James Bible and everything's good with that, guess what? Teach it. Get up and teach it. You say, well, God's been dealing with me about preaching. Preach. Preach. Well, I'm not qualified. Neither am I. Shocker, right? Ain't nobody qualified. Ain't nobody qualified. I understand there's qualifications for certain aspects and certain things that go on. I understand there's qualifications for pastors, but you can preach with anything. You may not be able to hold the pastorate, but you can still preach. You can still proclaim Jesus. There's still a jail somewhere that needs somebody to go preach to them. There's still some teenagers that need somebody to preach to them. There's still a pastor that needs some help every once in a while when he can't be there and knows that somebody can get in the pulpit and give somebody the Word of God. Just preach it anyway. You see, there's always a door you can walk through. It's just, are you willing to do it? Because you're always sitting back going, what does God want me to do? Well, if you just sit here and you say, God, what do you want me to do? You ain't never going to find it. You ain't never going to find it sitting right here saying, God, wait, I'm waiting. God, just show me. He's not going to write it in the sky and say, hey, you're supposed to do this. You've got to start doing it. You've got to start walking through the door. There's one thing we know for sure that we're supposed to do, though. There's one thing that we know for sure we're supposed to do. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is one of my favorite scriptures. That's my favorite scripture. I still like that right there. Y'all can take everything y'all want down in this church, but don't take that down, okay? I like that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 18, the Bible says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Your job is to reconcile the world to Jesus Christ. Simple. That is everybody's job in here. That is what God has called every single one of us to do. Now, that may look different to other people. That may look different for my wife. That may look different for you. That may look different for you. And it may look different for me. But reconciling the world is what we're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be telling somebody about Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be telling somebody, hey, did you know that He died on the cross for your sins? Hey, did you know that He went to a cruel Roman cross and shed His blood for you when you didn't deserve it? That's reconciling the world to Jesus Christ. That's your commission. That's your commission in this dispensation of age. That is your commission right now, is to reconcile the world to Jesus Christ. Why? Because time is dwindling down. You're supposed to be teaching the Word of God. I got a message, I preached on it a couple of weeks back, and I was talking about running out of time, and I said, we stick on this thing where you got running out of time, so you got to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And that's so true, but we've only got a short amount of time to each to teach the Word of God. We're running out of time just to teach it. We're running out of time to have the next generation be able to come up and say, hey, I still believe the book. I still believe right division. I still believe in dispensation. I still believe sound doctrine. There's a generation coming up that won't preach it, folks. You better check up. There's not a whole lot in my age bracket that'll do it anymore. And the next generation terrifies me. My little boy back there, ain't no telling what they're going to hear in the pulpit, if there's a pulpit to hear it in. I plan on just going until it burns down. I'm talking about just keep on going for God until they just drag me out. And then I'll preach it wherever they drag me. They can take the Word of God, but they can't take it out of your heart. There's something to that, hiding the Word of God in your heart. We won't do that anymore either, do we? I'm trying to stay on topic. I could go so many different directions. I want to go so many different directions. But you need to understand what the Word of God is. You need to understand how the Word of God affects you in your life. That's just a little bit of a background on why I believe that the King James Bible is the infallible and inerrant Word of God. And like I said, you could go for days and days and days and break everything down into such minute little pieces. I would love to be able to do that, but with the time I've been given, I've ran out. So that gives you at least a little bit of background on why I believe the Word of God is the Word of God. Thank you so much for listening to me this morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day that you give us, Lord. Thank you so much for letting us be able to hold the infallible and inerrant Word of God, Lord. I pray that you just help us as we go into this morning service, Lord. You just help us to get something out of the Word of God, Lord. Again, Lord, if somebody's not saved, Lord, I pray that you just help them to get saved before it's eternally too late, Lord. Love to be able to take the Word of God and share Jesus Christ with somebody this morning, Lord. Pray that you just keep us safe as we go through the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.